Strong. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mercy!
Welcome back to another episode of Versus. Miles' headphones just fell off and hit the microphone. He's shaking violently. Bro is seizing right now. We have had a great day. It's back. I'm ready. Are you ready, Miles? You know what that means. It is time for us to sit down, have a little chat, and debate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Versus. I am your host, Kieran Sandulo, as always, joined by my co-host, the lovely Miles Sprung. How are you doing, Miles?
I'm feeling like you could take me hot to go.
No.
Okay. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, to the podcast listeners, Hot to Go played just before we came on the air today, and I do not like that song.
I love that song.
I don't.
It's a bop, you know what I'm saying?
That's not the topic for today, though. Anyways, Miles, how was your week?
Hot to Go, yes or no?
How was your week?
I've been sick. So that hasn't been cool. My knee hurts.
Yeah.
I'm getting that fixed, though. But that's about it. My week has been very uneventful. Yeah, it's because of the worms.
The worms are back, everybody.
The worms have arrived.
Are you running a pregame for the game tonight?
No.
No.
I'm very sad about it because my rehearsal for Footloose got extended, and I can't make it, and it's mandatory, so I can't make it to the game tonight, unfortunately.
Who are you in Footloose?
I'm Cowboy Bob. A musical exclusive character. He's not in the movie.
Lovely. That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, I get my own song.
Do you get a hat?
I do get a hat.
Do you get boots?
I do get boots.
You get a gun?
No.
Dang.
I wish.
They wouldn't give you the little pop gun revolver or
anything?
Well,
no, because I'm not supposed to shoot anyone, unfortunately.
What if they gave you a banana to take the place?
I've got an idea.
Could you convince them to let you wear a holster with a banana
in
it?
Oh, probably not.
Could you try?
I mean, I'd get shot down immediately by a banana.
Wow, I was going to say, the wrong word to use.
I would get shut down immediately is what I meant to say. Go team.
Go team. Well, I mean, musical, you have your own song as Cowboy Bob?
I do.
How long is it?
3 minutes?
Wow.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
I know.
My sister is in Mean Girls, the musical, Avon, and she's the coach.
Oh, God.
She gets to be the coach.
Oh, that character is so awesome in the movie.
He's not censoring it either.
Oh, so she's also a pedophile?
You can't say that.
So she's also a weird person?
Yeah. Well, they're censoring it some.
Oh, okay.
But, some of the lines that she has...
Oh, is Mean Girl, for the biz?
Yeah. No. For the school. Oh, no. It is the biz.
I was going to say, it's the biz.
It is the biz.
I almost auditioned for that, but then decided I didn't have time for it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, dang. Who would you have auditioned for?
I don't think I could have gotten Damien. I don't think I'm hot enough for Aaron Samuels.
I don't know anything about Mean Girls. I still haven't seen it.
Huh. I don't know, actually.
I still haven't seen Mean Girls. I don't know anything.
Well, Ben Davis Theater is doing Bring It On, the musical, on the 14th, 15th, and 16th at 7 p.m. and the 17th at 2 p.m.
Crazy plug just there,
It's on the board.
I know it's on the big board. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into our topic for the day.
Hoorah!
Hoorah. Today, we are talking about which is better, practical effects or CGI. Miles, you're a practical boy.
I'm very practical. I wouldn't say I'm very against CGI, but I am against it.
Why?
For the most part. Because half the time, it's so, poorly done. Like, it's rare where you see a good CGI movie. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like backdrops in Marvel films, those look good. But, if we're talking about, horror movies...
Mm.
It's so rare you see good CGI when it could have just done way better practically. I mean, if you look at movies like
Swarm of people just came into the studio.
Yeah, BDTV is watching their newscast.
Yeah,
shout out BDTV. But if you look at horror movies specically, if you look at The Thing. Or Creepshow, or all the Texas Chainsaw movies until the 2000s. Like, those are all, or no, even the remake in 2003, those are all of practical effects, and they all look phenomenal. But then you look at, like, something like Leprechaun. You know what I'm saying?
We don't talk about Leprechaun.
Or Leprechaun 3, in space.
We don't talk about Leprechaun. We don't talk about giving the Leprechaun a lightsaber.
Yeah, no, that was terrible.
It was such a strange movie.
You ever seen Leprechaun in the Hood?
I have not. Oh, and I don't think so I good. Ever will.
No, it's actually the best one of the franchise. I'm not kidding.
I will never watch a Leprechaun movie again after the first one. I was just like, what?
I've seen every Leprechaun movie.
I'm not going to watch a Leprechaun movie ever again.
And Leprechaun in the Hood is the best one, unsurprisingly.
I think CGI is a really very useful tool. And not just in, like, action movies and whatnot. But
yeah.
It is. There are some really good examples of it being used incredibly well in horror movies in recent years as well. Annihilation for one of them. Annihilation is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. It's a cosmic horror movie.
Your favorite horror movies?
Hmm?
You said horror.
My favorite horror movie.
My favorite horror movie.
My favorite horror movie. But he is but the Annihilation, specifically the bear. Oh my God, the bear. The bear in Annihilation is some of the best CG work I've ever seen in a horror movie.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. And the like the mimic that follows her around near the end there.
Yeah.
CGI in horror movies, really good stuff. If it's put into, like, if they put effort into it, if you pay your artists well, you'll get good-looking effects.
Not always.
Not always.
There have been a lot of movies with big budgets with terrible CG.
Well, that's, again, it's because it goes towards the talent, not the animators. That's the problem with stuff like Thor: Love and Thunder. More of the recent Marvel movies, half of that budget has been going to the people starring in it, and there's nothing left over for the CG artists.
Well, I mean, if you look at the 2011 Thing movie, like, there's no one notable in that movie.
Correct.
And the CG looks bad in that movie.
Do you know why? Not a good budget.
I mean, it was a decent budget.
Not a good one.
So, for CG to, like, properly be at the level, like, it needs to be a big budget movie, and a lot of horror movies,
it doesn't need to be a big budget movie at all. It needs to have the budget needs to be going to the right spot is what it needs to be going to.
But then you just said that, when there's no one going, or when not all the money's going to the actors in the 2011 Thing.
Do you know where all the money went in the 2011 Thing?
Where?
Reshoots and rewrites.
Okay.
About 70% of the budget that they had went towards reshooting and rewriting scenes for the movie.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat was
good. The old
good,
ones. Though.
The old ones? That was because it was an old movie.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. CGI was bad back when that movie came out. And even then,
if you look at The Matrix, that
the
wasn't
movie,
bad CG, and that was
the
really
Matrix
the same.
Had a huge budget compared to Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat CG, do you know why it looked like that? Because it was
sucked.
New technology. It was new technology, and for the time, it looked good. Scorpion's skeleton head, when he did the flame breath.
Oh, come on. Scorpion's skeleton head was bad looking.
No, for the time, no. Now, by our standards today, absolutely. But back then, no.
I wouldn't even give you for back then.
You know, like his spear?
Yeah.
That was the
kunai?
Yeah, that was one of the first times that they tried to map a CG object to a physical object.
The only thing I know, or the only reason I know what a kunai is because of Ghost of Tsushima. But, I've been playing a lot of that. But
it's because of the CG is an evolutionary technology. It's a fairly recent thing in the grand scheme of, like, movies and whatnot. Practical effects have been around for a while, and they've also had time to evolve.
Yeah, and they look so much better.
Have you ever seen The Ritual?
No, never heard of such a film.
The Ritual is a cult horror movie. It's about a cult, and at the end of the movie, there is a full CG deer monster at the end of it.
Okay.
And it looks ridiculous, like, absolutely incredible. It looks practical, but it's not. It looks as though it is there. Do you know why it looks as though it was there?
Why?
Because they, throughout that movie, did not use any CGI except for on the thing, on the guy. A big part of why CGI looks bad now in like modern movies, like action movies and Marvel movies especially, is because they use CGI for everything.
Yeah.
So their budget is spread thin. For example, the last time a Marvel movie was on a practical set, like a full environment, like an actual, were filming on location, was in Spider-Man No Way Home, and it was for two scenes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
They shot scenes of people in places that could easily be done practically, like Flash Thompson at a party in a house.
Right? Okay.
People behind him at a party. Do you know what they did for that scene?
CG.
They put him on a green screen.
Yeah.
Just him. They didn't even take him to a building. When they spread the budget so thin like that, then it looks worse. But
the thing about the reason that they do that is because of the reason that they do that is because there's a lot of different taxes and fees and other sorts of things for location services.
Yeah.
To where it actually saves money more than anything else.
Saves money at the cost of quality.
Not exactly, because the more money that they save from not doing things on location, the more money that they have to put towards the CG, even if it's in more scenes.
And then they don't use it, though. They don't put it towards that.
Well, not entirely. I mean,
exactly. So one of the biggest issues with CG now.
No, because they are. I mean, because they precast beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have, and it's not like and movies are notorious for not having set budgets.
Yeah.
It's just all, you know, it all fluctuates based on what the studio says yes and no to.
Yeah.
So, and, I mean, it's Disney. They've got the pockets. So I think that they have, they pay all of the talent beforehand. So, or they pay all the talent beforehand. So the, whatever, $10 million that like Chris Hemsworth would make on Thor 10? Love and Thunder.
Absolutely
I don't
not.
Know. I just threw out a number.
Bro's making 70 at tops.
Like I just threw out a number, but like the mil or the tens of millions they're spending on the talent or hundreds of millions they're spending on talent, that is also in moderation as well with what they're doing with the CGI budget, because they don't have, because unless it's a smaller studio, they don't have a set budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fluctuating. So,
do you want to know the biggest problem with why CGI looks bad in modern movies?
Why?
Time. Time constraints. All of these, like, bigger Marvel projects, like the ones that were especially bad recently, do you know why they all looked bad?
Why?
Because they were rush jobs. So, when the pandemic hit...
Then just do it practically.
Yeah, they you would think that we'd think of that. But, do you know why they... went on crunch time.
Why?
After the pandemic hit, then they couldn't go to these locations to shoot at all.
Yeah.
There was no way that they could do on-location shoots.
Yeah.
But they already had these slates in place as for, like, the movie is supposed to come out this time.
Well, they,
so
I
they
mean,
rushed the CGI.
They can delay the movie.
Yeah, but they don't.
That's just more corporate greed than
Either
anything
way.
Else.
Either way, time constraints are... one of the biggest reasons for why digital effects look bad now. For example, Black Panther. When Black Panther first came out, it was, like, phenomenal looking throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Except for that last scene. That last scene with them fighting in the tunnels with the vibranium and whatnot that looks like a PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah.
That, do you know why it looked like that?
Because they ran out of time.
They ran out of time. They were working on that scene up until it released in theaters.
And delay it like a month. Like people,
they already did.
Delay it another month. Who cares?
They didn't want to. People were already upset about the first time it got delayed. So what people are doing now is they aren't giving an exact date for when it will come out until they know for sure that they can get the effects done and looking good in that amount of time. For example, Loki, the Disney Plus Marvel show.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing show. Probably my favorite piece of Marvel media in recent memory.
I don't know. Looks, Black Widow was really good.
I will hit you.
I actually really liked Black Widow. I'm sorry.
Black Widow had terrible CGI as well.
Yeah, it did.
But it looked good for a little bit.
Yeah.
The important thing is it looked good most of the time. But Loki was all CGI. Like, they had so much CGI. But they did it well because they shot on location.
Yeah.
They shot on location with CG effects in the background, right? Like Loki multiplying himself or whatnot and his magic. And that one scene at the very end of it, spoilers for those who haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it.
Okay. There is a scene at the end of it. I'm not going to tell you anything spoilery. Where it is it's not spoilers, it's fine. Where he is walking in a full CG environment. And they have light from CG objects that is realistically mapped to his face. That looks as though it has actually, like, he is in this fully CG space.
Yeah.
But it's, like, there. And it's incredible because he's interacting so visibly with these CG objects in there. Like, brushing stuff out of the way. And it, like, you can see it impacting on his hand and leaving an imprint where it was. Fully CGI. There is no, like, practical anything to, like, show him where he is when you watch the behind the scenes. Like, him brushing past something, what they do there is they literally give him a cue as to when to move his hand across his face to, like, push something out of the way. And then digitally, after the fact, they add a physical object digitally.
Yeah.
To add the physics bit to it. Then they go in, add textures, they add a lighting thing to it. Then by hand, they go in, paint in the light. And it looks so realistic. It looks like, have you ever seen what it looks like when you are, like, underwater and you can see, like, the light refraction from the surface water on your hand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks like that. That is the hardest effect to do with lighting in CGI ever. It was a huge technological advancement when Avatar 2 did it. And that's recent. Avatar 2 is very recent. And that movie, entirely CGI. And it looks super realistic.
Yeah.
It's all about the amount of time that is put into it, that is given to it. Avatar 2 took 10 years to release.
Yeah, but, like, who's got time for that when you can go out and film in a regular forest? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, obviously.
Like, that's the thing. That's always an option. Is I know that, I mean, obviously, Avatar 1, they just used regular people. They used regular people with, like, suits on. Motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just filmed it in a regular forest.
They didn't
much.
Film it in a regular forest, actually. They filmed it in a soundstage.
That's not CGI. There's no way.
It is. Oh. They filmed all of the first Avatar in a soundstage. The entirety of Avatar 1 and 2 is CGI. There is not a single practical set in either Avatar movie.
Well, that just seems like they're trying too hard.
But it worked.
I mean, am I wrong, though? It seems like they're trying too hard for no reason just to say that they did it. Where you can go out in a regular forest and film. Like, that's my thing.
It's an alien planet. So, now...
It's still a forest!
Arguably, yeah. Like, listen, you are making a point. But the way that I see it, CGI is really, really good when it comes to putting artistic direction into a movie. Practical effects are great for very specific things.
That's not true.
It is true.
It's not very specific things. Most things.
CGI is great for being stylistic.
Yeah.
And with a lot of movies nowadays being, like, really stylistic or experimental, stuff like that, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once. One of my new favorite movies ever, all time. It's so much CGI in that movie. And it was made, all of the effects were made during the pandemic.
Yeah.
From a guy at home. It was done by 5 people.
Like, I'm not saying that CGI is bad. I'm just saying practical effects are better because they have, it's not going to take 10 years to make a forest. You know what I'm saying? You could just go out in a forest and film. Like, I can understand using CG for some of those, like, like wider shots where they're trying to show off, like, more alien-looking things. But if we're talking about, like for Avatar in specifics, when you can just go out in a big old forest and film, or, like, you just, like, get a permit out in the Amazon or something, like, that's the type of thing I'm saying. Like, a lot of studios don't really take it into consideration that it's just more practical, or it's more practical to do real life things and just go out on location for a couple weeks, when instead of spending 10 years on a tree branch, you know. So that's what I think studios don't take into consideration. It's like how much time they save, how much manpower they'd save, and like therefore salary, which they can spend more on the movie. So, and like also, I mean, it doesn't always, I mean, obviously it doesn't always look good. I mean, yeah, unless they spend 10 years on it, like Avatar or, what was the other movie you mentioned?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Or that, where that was, you know, five people taking years to do it too.
They actually only took 2 years.
Yeah.
But that was just solely because the pandemic stalled filming.
Still took years, I mean, it still took years to only do the CG part of the movie. When you, like, I can...
No, actually. That's just not right.
But you just said that's...
No, I said it took 2 years because there was a filming delay because of the pandemic. They were filming mostly on location, actually. The only problem with why it took so long is because pandemic hits, you can't use a practical set anymore.
I'm so confused in what you're saying. No, so
they're
Everything
Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, but you said two guys or five guys.
Five people did all of the CGI.
It took them 2 years.
No. The CGI stuff took them 5 months.
But that's not what you just said. You just said it took them 2 years.
No, I said it took 2 years to make the movie.
But. No, because.
The movie's not just CG.
No, because I legit just said. They take years, or like, or with Everything Everywhere All at Once, you know, they take a couple years, and you're like, yeah, it's 2 years. And then I was like, oh, okay.
No.
That, you said 2 years!
To make the movie, not to do the effects.
You need to word it better.
I worded it fine. You have worms in your brain.
No, you did not word it fine.
That's the worms telling you that.
Your Honor, I was left out of some information in Discovery. It was only 5 months, not 2 years.
Your Honor, the defendant has worms in his brain.
Your Honor, no, I do not. That is offensive. I'm countersuing for slander. Anyways.
The worms have like to say otherwise.
The worms aren't there.
Yes, they are. You just don't know it yet.
Anyway.
They'll make themselves known.
But either way, I mean, it was very... I mean, I don't think they used that much CG and Everything Everywhere All at Once. I mean, not to the level of... No, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't use it. They used it, but not like an insane amount. You know what I'm saying? And it took them 6 months when there were, I mean, there probably was a lot or a decent amount of practical options they could have used.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, for example, or if you look at, I'm trying to think of, I had a movie and then it just slipped out of my brain. If you look at like the difference between, like a movie from, let's just say the early 70s. Like, let's go Jaws.
All right.
And then you look at anything from, like, The Meg or Sharknado.
Okay, The Meg looked great.
The Meg did not look great. Get out of here.
Yes, it did.
No,
it didn't. The second one, no. But the first one, yes.
Well, The Meg 2 had even more of a budget and more time.
Yeah? No, less time, more budget.
Okay, a little less time. It wasn't, I mean, they still took...
Less time, more budget, but the budget was stretched thin because now there's more CGI creatures that they had to use.
Okay.
The budget for, like, a big CGI... So,
use the robot shark. That's what Jaws did.
Let's talk Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm going to bring you to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
Sonic the Hedgehog had the budget to do one CGI character. Right?
Mm-hmm.
One CGI fully animated talking animal character. But they had a fun little thing in the middle of it where the people did not like what he looked like and they redid the entire movie.
Yeah.
That was where a bunch, they only had the budget for one CGI character. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 rolls around. They have a higher budget now, but they limit themselves.
Yeah.
To two more CGI characters, Tails and Knuckles. They don't do anything different than they did on the first movie. They don't cut corners or anything. They fully are just like, okay, here's what worked the first time around. Here's what we do the second time. So they had an individual team animate each character. Each character had a different person animating it. They also put more of their budget towards the CGI characters so that they looked better. Instead of spending their money on all this other stuff, do you know why? So Jim Carrey went way below his usual pay grade for Sonic 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this movie will be fun. My kids will like this movie. And they did. So he went back for the second and the third one. James Marsden, he didn't take much pay from that movie. Neither did Ben Schwartz, Idris Elba. Idris Elba is like big movie star energy, right?
Yeah.
Big movie star guy. He was the voice of Knuckles. He got like nothing. They spent all of the like the budget that they had been given to make the movie on making the CGI look good in the time they were given. Because they paid the artists to do it. A lot of the time.
So did the Meg 2.
No, they didn't.
No, so, because they had a decent amount of time. They had, what, Meg released 2016, Meg 2 in 2022.
They didn't start filming Meg 2 until 2021.
I highly doubt that.
That's true. Most of these movies but either take way, they like still a year
have
to make.
Either way, they still have to make the shark, which would take years beforehand. And I'm just going to go out on a limb. Shark. Yeah.
It doesn't take long to make a digital shark.
Okay. But when you're...
They already had the 3D model from the first movie.
Yeah, and it didn't look great.
It looked fine in the first movie. What are you talking about?
No, it would have looked a lot better if you had taken, like, a Jaws approach and done, like, a robot-type thing. Because Jaws, I mean, it looked great. The shark looked great, especially for the time when... But now there's, like, a lot of enhancements that they could do with more... Or with better, like... mechanical technology.
Mm.
But I mean, Bruce and Jaws look great. They could have very easily just done like a, you know, like a, could have done like a, like whenever, you know that scene where the girl has like, you know, yes. The ball and there's like that
the
glass
shark
dome.
In the window in the glass dome. Yeah.
They could have used models for that. You know what I'm saying?
They used a 3D model.
No, that's not what I mean,
though. It looked good.
They could have...
That scene looked great.
It looked fine.
That was, like, one of my favorite shots in the movie. I think it looked incredible.
It looked fine.
You are undervaluing The Meg, starring Jason Statham, okay? And that
okay, and
is
let me
outrageous.
Tell you, how much do you think Jason Statham took on that film? Probably none, because he's
million.
Jason Statham. Oh, that's not much. Get out of here.
Exactly. They put the budget towards the shark.
Yeah, and it didn't look great.
It looked good. It was not a high-budget movie.
Yeah, okay. But that's my thing, is that high-budget movies have good CGI. Low-budget movies have not good CGI.
Low-budget movies have good CGI.
Not entirely. Like, it's a...
Have you ever heard of the movie...
It's an 80...
Have you ever heard of the movie District 8?
Yes.
District 8, all of those alien guys, fully CGI. Do you know what the budget of that movie was?
What?
Like $3 million. That is nothing in movies.
The aliens look good. They didn't look
the
great.
The movie came out in 2007.
But 90% of the time, if you watch a low-budget movie,
mm-hmm.
If you watch a low-budget movie with CGI, it's going to look bad. 90% of the time. And that's my thing, is that you pretty much need to have either the most talented artists in the entire universe, or... a bajillion dollars in 5 years to do a CGI movie when you very well could use practical effects and save yourself a bunch of time, a bunch of money, or maybe not a bunch of money because you have to, you know, make the stuff.
Yeah.
But you still have... Actually, no, because it would cost around the same, but it would look better, or it would most likely look better. You get better artists and less artists because it would take a less amount of time. It's just very, or CGI, they just use CGI to say that they used it more than they...
No,
yes.
That's simply just not
no,
correct.
It very much is.
That is simply inaccurate.
No.
CGI is literally used as a time-saving tool most of the time. CGI is used to airbrush out wires and whatnot to make people look like they're flying. CGI is used to add a little extra glare to the camera to make it look like, hey, lighting's a little bad. Let's adjust this a little bit. CGI is used to add the little minute details to make things look a little better in camera. CGI is used in tandem with practical effects majority of the time.
I wouldn't say that that's the type of CGI we're talking about, though. We're talking about Avatar and the Meg and the Matrix.
I'm talking about CGI as a tool. I am talking about CGI in total. And you are talking about practical effects in total. CGI is used for multiple things, not just for making a character or for making an explosion, right?
But that's the type of CGI we're talking about.
It's not the CGI we were talking about. It's the CGI I have talked about, but that's not all that CGI is.
But the Photoshop type of CGI or the Adobe video editor type of CGI that goes in tandem with practical effects. That is not the type that I would say we're debating about. I'm saying I think the topic is whether like characters or effects or sets look better with CGI or practical effects, not with, does it look better if the wires aren't in the shot? So I think that's what the argument is, not, you know.
See, now you're putting an argument in my mouth. The argument was CGI and practical effects. It's not limited to, like, what we're saying. Like, practical effects for you, right? Practical effects can be as small as making a blood bag explode when somebody gets shot.
Yeah.
CGI is as small as adding a muzzle flash in posts, right?
Well, but that's... No, because that's different, though, than what you're saying about...
But it's...
Taking... No.
Hold on.
Because let me talk.
Go ahead.
It's not different. It is different because you're talking about, you know, taking wires out of shots or touching up some lighting or doing whatever else. But when you're talking about, like, muzzle flashes and blood bags and whatever, that's things you notice in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not things that make the practical or that elevate the practical effects just a little bit. That's two completely different things. I'm talking about things you notice
in the movie. Both of them are practical and CGI. It's not necessarily always things that you are like looking at, things that you're going to notice. It can be background details, right? For example, the movie All Quiet on the Western Front. That movie is like a good chunk practical effects because there's not much action that goes on in that movie.
Yeah.
They use practical explosions when they're like up in camera or whatnot, right? But off in the background, everything that looks like exactly like it would, like if it was like right up front, they had CGI doubles running off into the background that you could never have known were CGI unless somebody had told you ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right? It's not always going to be the most prominent thing. It's not always going to be the focus of it, the CGI object. It is usually used, again, either in tandem with practical effects to enhance it a little bit or just to make a specific thing look better, to give it, to add a little detail to something that didn't have much detail beforehand. Like, you don't have exactly what the environment is going to look like in the moment, so you build a small part of it, right? What they do in a lot of movies is they build a small part of the set. And then the rest of the set going off into the background or up into the sky, fully CGI. You wouldn't know unless somebody told you that's CGI.
But to be fair, that the big thing about sets between CGI and practical is that it loses a lot of intricate details and a lot of life. Because if you look at a set...
It's the opposite.
No, not at all. Because if you look at a set like Midsommar, Florence Pugh movie, amazing. Very depressing, very screwed up, but it's really amazing. If you look at the sets for that movie, they did a phenomenal job. They built those from scratch. Everything has character, everything has detail, everything just feels alive.
Yeah.
But if I look at, you know, a Marvel set, or Avatar set, like where it's just a forest, I wouldn't say it's better than if you just went out in the forest and set up some lights, you know? Like, it's the... Everything just feels... Or if you're talking about interiors as well,
mm-hmm.
Like, again, going back to Midsommar, because that's a prime example of phenomenal sets.
Yeah.
They
built that.
They built that. They built that from scratch, and it's phenomenal looking.
Yeah, it looks great.
Like, it's one of my favorite locations and settings in a movie that I've ever seen. And it's because they built it from scratch and everything was there. Like, you knew, like, you could tell everything was there. And that it just, I don't know, in the interiors, it just felt very colorful, very alive. But if you look at an interior in a CGI movie, everything just looks kind of lifeless.
Allow me to take you to a bit of... Now, I agree most of the time on that. I do think that practical is better for, like, interior set design, right?
Yeah.
Exterior set design, though, absolutely not. Unfortunately, my view... Let's go to Lord of the Rings. Have you ever seen the Lord of the Rings movies?
I fell asleep during the first one, like, 5 times. It was so boring.
That's all right. You don't have to enjoy
the movie. It was the most boring thing I've ever watched.
But all of those sets...
Other than Velocipaster, that was pretty boring.
All of those sets that are outdoor, all of the outdoor sets in Lord of the Rings are mostly CGI. There are very few, like, practical moments in that movie, or in any of the movies.
Yeah.
Big
castle. You're telling me that dragon isn't practical?
Shut. No, the Balrog is not practical.
They could have done it, though, and it would have looked great.
No, it's too big.
No.
So, I gotta adjust. I have to, like, sit on my leg to get comfy now. Anyways, Lord of the Rings, CGI, most of those sets. All of the interior stuff, absolutely practical. But the exterior stuff, like Mount Doom, all of Mordor, CGI. Trekking through those snowy mountains, Legolas is just waltzing on top of snow, CGI. They shot Legolas separately on a green screen platform to have him walk past people on top of the snow while everyone else was wading past.
Yeah.
CGI is anything from make Gollum to make the sky blue. And Lord of the Rings movies are, like, such incredible CGI with the environments. They put so much effort into how the environments look that sometimes the character animation suffered a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's just what I'm saying. They made the environments look so fantastic. Like, they looked straight out of the book. They looked so incredible in camera and on the screen that it almost is like you don't really care that Gollum looks a little bit too smooth.
Yeah.
He looks a little funky, but it's like he looks okay. He looks good. For the time that movie came out in, like, the early 2000s, that was, like, impressive. That was, like, technologically impossible at the time. They didn't have motion capture suits. They put Andy Serkis in a gray morph suit with a microphone attached to him, and they had him crawl up onto a rock, and then people hand animated Gollum over top of him and then airbrushed Andy Serkis out later. And it looked incredible for the guy. And the Balrog, right? That was fully CGI. Even with all of the, like, little details, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to closing arguments.
All right.
I feel like I was already on the way, so I'll finish up and then you go. So, CGI, anything from the smallest detail to, like, these big giants that are just, like, off in the background, waltzing around, crushing buildings. Godzilla, Aliens, the new Alien movie, Romulus, mostly practical effects, but, like, the big scenes with all the xenomorphs, CGI. There's a bunch of them. CGI is used for, like, adding a muzzle flash, adding a little bit of extra blood to a character's face after an impact to make it look like there's more pain there, to make it look more physical, more impactful, right? CGI is great for a lot of things. But there's also a lot of stuff that it's probably better to go practical on, which leads me into Miles. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client here today is practical effects, and they're not only more effective unless you have a huge budget or an insane amount of or an insanely talented group of artists. Not only is it more time saving, it's less expensive, requires less manpower, and looks and is more consistent. It's got the fundamentals, you know what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, CGI and practical effects have the same goal, but practical effects are a more reliable tool. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Verse, for this episode of Verses, not the Verses, just Verses. We will have a poll up on Monday to decide who wins this round. Miles, thank you again for coming on.
My legs are tingly.
Yeah, you're running around. You're trying to get out of here. You got to go. But thank you, everybody,
for listening. I just mean my legs are actually tingling.
Oh, you're falling asleep on you?
I don't know.
Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Versus. I have been Kieran Sandulo. He has been Miles Sprung. We will see you on Monday for the show, and we will see you again on Friday for another episode of Versus. Thank you, everybody, and a goodbye.